Itina eva hi aghonaha. For me, a little bit too strong light there. I was blinding. Where did I stop? Not too dark, no. Always extremes. No, I don't need this. What is this? Where did I stop? Asya kritam syat agha nishkritam yada narayana Aya iti jagada chattu aksharam iti naiva yagunosya kritam syat aghanishkritam yada narayana iti Jagada Shatur Aksharam Itena. By this chanting, Eva, indeed, he, certainly, Aghonaha, who possesses sinful reactions, Asya, of this Ajamila, Kritam, performed. Syat, is. Agha, of sins. Nishkritam, complete atonement. Yada, when. Narayana, O Narayana, the name of his son. Aya, please come. Iti, thus, Jagada, he chanted. Chattuhu aksharam, the four syllables. Na ra ya na. Translation. The Vishnu Dutas continued. Even previously, while eating, and at other times, this Ajamila would call his son, saying, My dear Narayana, please come here. Although calling the name of his son, he nevertheless uttered the four syllables, Narayana. Simply by chanting the name of Narayana in this way, he sufficiently atoned for the sinful reactions of millions of lives. Purport. Previously, when engaged in sinful activities to maintain his family, Ajamil chanted the name of Narayana without offenses. To chant the holy name of the Lord just to counteract one's sinful activities or to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. Don't change the sound, please. What did I say? The holy name is offensive. Namno balad yasa hi papa buddhi. But although Ajamil engaged in sinful activities, he never chanted the holy name of Narayana to counteract them. He simply chanted the name Narayana to call his son. Therefore, his chanting was effective. Because of chanting the holy name of Narayana in this way, he had already vanquished the accumulated sinful reactions of many, many lives. In the beginning he was pure, but although he later committed many sinful acts, He was offenseless because he did not chant the holy name of Narayana to counteract them. One who always chants the holy name of the Lord without offenses is always pure. As confirmed in this verse, Ajamil was already sinless, and because he chanted the name of Narayana, he remained sinless. It did not matter that he was calling his son, the name itself was effective. Yeti naiva hyaganosya kritam syat aghanishkritam yada narayana yeti jagada chaktur aksharam. The Vishnu Dutas continued, even previously while eating and at other times, this Ajamil would call his son, saying, my dear Narayana, please come here. Although calling the name of his son, he nevertheless uttered the four syllables Narayana. Simply by chanting the name of Narayana in this way, he is sufficiently atoned for the sinful reactions of millions of lives. So that shows the effectiveness of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada repeatedly mentions in the purport that Ajamil chanted the holy name in a sinless way, without offenses, because he did not attempt to counteract his sinful activities by chanting the holy name. So that is a very important point, to not utilize the chanting to counteract the reactions of sinful activities. And as Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that it didn't matter that he was calling his son, the name in itself acted. And again, we can conclude in what to speak of chanting the holy name of the Lord, remembering Krishna, not meaning something else, but actually meaning Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then what to speak of chanting the holy name with in pure love of Godhead, pure love for Krishna, that we cannot imagine the result. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his own words, described in the Shikshastakam, what Srila Prabhupada also later on in the preceding verses in his purport explains, that he comes to the point of glorifying the holy name of the Lord as described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes in these prayers of the holy name, Shikshastaka, the eternal relationship of the living entity with Krishna, and the means how to revive that eternal relationship. And then the principle, the nature of that relationship as the ultimate goal, prema pumato mahan, the prema, pure love for Krishna. That's the ultimate goal. Everything is described in the sutras, in these verses of Shikshastakam. And I thought we'd do a short seminar this morning, going through the points of the Acharya's comments on the Shikshastaka. We can go through these important points, beginning with the Cheto Darpana Marjanam, to cleaning the mirror of the heart. By the initial words, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the truth concerning the identity of the living entity is disclosed as the eternal servant of Krishna. That's the meaning of eternal relationship with Lord Krishna as the eternal servant. That's the relationship. Sometimes our devotees are curious about their particular relationship with the Lord, even to the extent of taking interest in the subject matter of what would be my particular relationship with Krishna, what would be my eternal spiritual body, what would it look like. But the answer is, our eternal spiritual body is being the eternal servant of Krishna. Whatever that form might be, but that's the essential point, service. Being the eternal servant of Krishna. That is our eternal Svarupa. Nitya Krishna Das. The Supreme Lord is Vibhu Chaitanya, the all-pervading consciousness, unlimited transcendental qualities that bestow all the good fortune, eternally exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the jiva's vision is being diverted from the Supreme Lord, then they become bound by the laws of material nature. When their attention is again turned towards the Lord, then the covering of Maya and the illusory energy, which covers the pure identity of the living entity, of the jiva, is being removed, withdrawn. Thereafter, they directly perceive their own spiritual form. At that time, the jiva's pure consciousness manifests and he becomes situated in his pure ego. From this he begins to see factually in the mirror of his pure consciousness the following five truths. First, Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Second, jiva, the innumerable living entities. Then prakriti, the material nature. Kala, the time factor. And karma, the fruitive activities of the living entities. When the mirror of the heart is completely cleansed and purified, one sees one's own constitutional form, Svarupa, and consequently one's own occupational, eternal occupational duty, Svadharma, which means devotional service. Then second, Baba Mahadevagni Nirvapanam, chanting the holy name of the Lord, Samkirtan, it extinguishes the forest fire of material existence. Every morning we sing Samsara Dava Nalalida Loka. Samsara, repetition of birth and death. Dava nala lila, dava nala, dava anala. This dava means forest, anala means fire. That samsara, it is like a forest fire that can only be extinguished by rain clouds. It will not work if you bring some buckets of water. Forest fire, very powerful. But similarly, this material existence, having to enter into innumerable species of life, and that cycle of birth and death is like a forest fire. Nobody can stop it. Only when there's a rain cloud, torrents of rain, then that extinguishes a forest fire. So that torrents of rain, it is compared to the instructions, spiritual knowledge delivered by Guru, spiritual master, and of course ultimately or originally delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Sankirtan is the eternal occupation of the living entity. We do not chant only for some time and then we give up chanting. And like these impersonalist Mayavadis, they take to temporary measures of practicing their so-called spiritual path. Reminds me of Srila Prabhupada walking on a morning walk in Mayapur with Brahmananda Prabhu at that time, Brahmananda Maharaj at that time. And when Srila Prabhupada returned to the Chandradaya Mandir, then I remember at that time you walk from the Ganges back to the temple and then you have to climb a little bit upstairs, up to the, onto the Bhaktisiddhanta road. So then Srila Prabhupada went, uphill, and Brahmananda Prabhu, he gave Srila Prabhupada support. He just stretched out his arm and Srila Prabhupada took that as a support to climb up. And when Srila Prabhupada reached the top of the road, he just, how to express in English, he just rejected his arm, like pushed it to the side. And Brahmananda Prabhu, he thought, oh, maybe I did something wrong. And then Srila Prabhupada looked into his eyes, he said, see, this is what the Mayavadis do. They just accept Guru and then they throw him away. Now I'm self-realized, enlightened, I don't need Guru anymore. They worship the deities also for some time. And then when they attain so-called enlightenment, then they stop worshiping the deities, they also throw them away. We don't chant Hare Krishna in this way for some time, and when we are enlightened, we stop chanting. No. It is the eternal occupation of the living entity to glorify Lord Krishna. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we have a beautiful story. When Gop Kumar returned to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, that's the first thing he noticed when he entered Goloka Vrindavan. The sound, everywhere he could hear the sound of glorifying Lord Krishna. They were chanting so many different songs, simply glorifying Lord Krishna's pastimes, his qualities. That's the eternal occupation of the living entity, to simply glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Shriya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. The holy name diffuses the moon rays of a pure devotional service for the highest good of all living entities. Pure devotional service, Lord Krishna, is compared to a white lotus. Just as the soothing rays of the moon cause the white lotus to blossom, Shri Krishna Sankirtan, diffusing the moon rays of pure devotional service, causes the white lotus of good fortune to bloom for the living entities. So many, when we go on Harinam Sankirtan, so many devotees, people, originally they're all devotees, now they have forgotten. But they feel that auspiciousness of the Sankirtan movement. So when they see the devotees, then they begin to smile, they appreciate. Of course, some people run away, what can we do? In one lecture, I remember Srila Prabhupada mentioned, he talked about the asuras, the demons. And then Prabhupada said, it is our duty to disturb the demons. It is our duty. What can we do? They might criticize us. Or those who meditate, many people nowadays, they like to meditate. They also feel disturbed. When we chant, Hare Krishna, oh, what is this? some sound in my jyoti, in my Brahman. What is that sound? What is that noise? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a young boy, he used to disturb the Brahmins, huh? When they entered into the Ganges water up to the waist. And then they were chanting the Gayatri mantra and meditating on Brahman. And then from the back, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he dived into the water and he took the legs and he just pulled them over. And this, while chanting, they just, you know, fell into the water. And this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. To disturb everyone so that they will ultimately wake up from that deep slumber of forgetting Krishna, in whatever form. This simple fact remains, they have forgotten Krishna. And that's the duty, the mission of any preacher, to wake them up, to remind them. And why you are rotting in this material world? You have forgotten, you know, the treasure of your heart, Krishna. At the beginning stage of one's devotion to Krishna, it is said to be an abhasa. Abhasa means like a reflection, semblance, not the real thing, like a reflection of the real bhakti, devotional service. But gradually it turns into unalloyed devotional service to Lord Krishna. Here Sri Krishna Sankirtan has been compared to the moon. Just as the nectarian light emitted from the moon causes the white lotus to bloom, Sri Krishna Sankirtan causes ecstatic emotion, which is predominated by the Hladini potency, Hladini Shakti, to appear within the hearts of the living entities. All kinds of benedictions arises as a consequence of this. Again, reminds me how auspicious the Sankirtan is, Harinam Sankirtan. In the early days, when we used to go out on the street, the people were so fascinated. They felt such a joy that I remember they often, in the winter time, when we were chanting, especially our brahmacharis, they used to be very austere. So we never wear like underwear in the winter time. So people, they noticed, you know, our blue legs and, you know, like a little bit shivering. So they came with trousers, socks. They came out from the shops. They gave us socks and trousers. Thank you. And some people also, in the summertime, I remember, they from the flower shops, they came out, they gave us, you know, bunches of flowers like this. Because they felt it's such an auspicious atmosphere. Let me, you know, the sense, the spirit of devotion, doing something for Krishna, for the devotees, it immediately, you know, like a blossom, the lotus of devotional service began to blossom. They wanted to do something, some seva. But then, of course, unfortunately, later on, our reputation changed. And then everything stopped. Appreciation is such a great responsibility to maintain the appreciation of people in general for this Krishna consciousness movement. It is a great responsibility. Otherwise, we would deprive them of that natural, you know, development of a seva, devotion to the devotees, to Srila Prabhupada's movement, to Krishna. It's a great, great responsibility. You should always act and behave in such a way that people appreciate this movement. Great responsibility. Vidyavadhu jivanam. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. Sankirtan is the life of transcendental knowledge. In reality, Lord Krishna has only one potency. Its two functions are vidya, knowledge, and avidya, ignorance. The Lord's internal potency, known as Yoga Maya Svarup, Shakti, is called vidya, knowledge. The external potency, Mahamaya, which is responsible for the creation of the entire material world and which covers the original spiritual form of the living entity, is called avidya, ignorance. Bhakti Devi dispels all desires other than that for the service of the Lord and removes this avidya, ignorance. By the function of the knowledge potency, which is called vidya vritti in Sanskrit, Bhakti Devi destroys the gross and subtle bodies of the living entities. One may attain a form in any of the five transcendental relationships of Santa, neutrality, Dasya, servitude, Sakya, friendship, Vatsalya, parenthood, or Madhurya, in accordance with one's eligibility, or in other words, in accordance with the what is technically known as the Stai Bhava. Stai Bhava means the eternal, one's own eternal dominant devotional sentiment, devotional mood. That means Stai Bhava. Anandam Buddhivardhanam, the Samkirtan increases the ocean of bliss. When the gross and subtle bodies of the living entity have been completely destroyed, one's infinitesimal nature becomes evident. Infinitesimal means very small, minute. And the living entity, the jivatma, is a minute, small particle, spiritual particle of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, it may be assumed that his constitutional happiness is also infinitesimal. Very nice point. Because the jivatma is very minute. And maybe the bliss of the jivatma is also very minute, very small bliss. So in order to dispel this worry, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informs us that the holy name is an ever-increasing ocean of bliss, Anandam Buddhivardhanam. In other words, Sri Krishna Sankirtan performed in the liberated condition unlimitedly expands the inherent transcendental pleasure of the living entity by virtue of the Ladini potency. So we don't have to worry because we are very small, minute, and our bliss is also very small. No. When we chant the holy name of the Krishna, then we dive into the ocean of transcendental bliss, Anandam Buddhivardhanam, which is eternally increasing. And for the material mind, this is impossible to understand, that something eternally increases. It's not possible. But on the spiritual plane, it is possible that something eternally increases. Pratipadam puranamritasvaranam, it enables, the Samkirtan enables one to taste complete nectar at every step. The jiva, being eternally situated in one of the transcendental rasas, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya, relishes complete nectar at every step due to his complete attachment to Krishna. Sri Krishna has four unique qualities. First, Lila Madhurya. He is an ocean of astonishing pastimes. Out of which the Rasa Lila is supreme, captivating. Second, Prema Madhurya. He is surrounded by devotees who possesses incomparably sweet, loving sentiments. Three, Venu Madhurya, the sweet and mellow sound of his flute, which attracts the minds of everyone within the three worlds. And four, Rupa Madhurya, His extraordinary beauty astonishes all moving and non-moving living entities. These four unique qualities of Krishna are eternally fresh. Although the jivas who have awakened their love for Krishna continuously drink these aspects of the Lord's sweetness, they remain unsatiated and hanker for more and more and more. Therefore, they increasingly drink the sweetness in endlessly new varieties. Sarvatma snapanam, premananda, pure love for Krishna, is completely pure. In the condition of prema, love for Krishna, Krishna's blissful feelings are completely pure. In other words, because the living entity in this status of prema gives unadulterated ecstatic pleasure to Krishna, he is devoid of any selfish motive for personal enjoyment. These two words, sarvatma snapanam, have been used to indicate supreme purity, completely devoid of the faults of a wanting, desiring to merge into the impersonal Brahman, known as sayuchya, mukti, and selfish enjoyment. Sri Krishna Sankirtan is thus decorated with the seven transcendental qualities. It is the embodiment of eternity, bliss, and full knowledge. May Sri Krishna Sankirtan be thoroughly victorious, especially in revealing the astonishing pastimes of Sri Radha Krishna. So these were some of the notes from our previous Vaishnava Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada's purports. And at the end, we quote two verses, actually three verses from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, chapter 20, verse 11, 13, and 14. Nama Sankirtan Hoite Sarvanat Nash Sarva Shubudhoi Krishna Primera Ulas. Simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can be freed from all undesirable habits. This is the means of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of waves of love of Godhead. By performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Once a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, what's the result of chanting? Srila Prabhupada replied, more chanting. It is eternal. Any questions, any comments? Maharaj, any some comment? You want someone to hand the microphone? Do we have a microphone? Yes. You bring tomorrow.
I wasn't planning to make a comment, but since I have the microphone, I have no choice. Yeah.
I thought you liked challenges, surprises, spontaneity.
Vidya vadu jivanam. Vidya vadu jivanam. Vidya means knowledge. Vadu also means bride. And the holy name is like the husband. And transcendental knowledge is like a bride. Yeah. So as the bride follows the husband, so in the same way, transcendental knowledge follows the chanting of the holy names of the Lord.
Mm.
Yeah, that's also nice. That's by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, or Bhakti Vinod Thakur, one of the two, I'm not sure.
Mm.
Like that.
Yeah, they both wrote a commentary on Sikshastakam. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, nice point.
Sarvatma Snaparam means complete bath, where it mentions that everything related to the devotee becomes what we say purified or sanctified simply by that devotee becoming absorbed in chanting the holy name. In other words, their paraphernalia, their home, everything in relationship to them also gets the benefit of the pure devotee's chanting, the chanting of pure nam like that. Sarvatma means all, and Snaparam is like a bath, complete bath. Everything is cleansed, everything's purified.
Nice.
Yeah. What is the other one? One before that. Anandam Buddhi Varnam Patipadam Purnam Rita Swardhanam. At every step, there's newer and newer realizations of Krishna through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. These are all these statements by the acharyas. And the one you mentioned, which is really quite powerful, is the Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. The jiva's happiness is infinitesimal, but when it dives into the ocean of transcendental bliss, the Aladini Shakti takes that unlimitedly. So. And the acharyas give a little of analogy that Radharani and Krishna are there, and Krishna looks at Radharani and sees how beautiful she is, and after seeing her beauty, he becomes happy, and after becoming happy, he becomes more beautiful. And Radharani sees Krishna, and she sees that he's become more beautiful, so she becomes more happy. And then Krishna sees that she's become more happy, so he becomes more beautiful, he becomes more happy. So the acharya says,
ever increasing.
Yeah, it's ever increasing.
That's the spiritual nature. Here everything is decreasing.
Don't try it with your wife.
In the beginning, girl and boys, they're very, very happy to see each other. And then at the end, yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah. Now that's the Sikshastakam prayers are the embodiment of, and actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says each of the verses corresponds to a couplet of the holy name.
Mm-hmm.
He says Hare Krishna means, the first verse is Hare Krishna, the second verse is Hare Krishna, the third verse is Krishna Krishna, and the fourth verse is Hare Hare, and all the way through. So actually chanting the Sikshastakam prayers, it's mentioned also that it's not different from chanting the holy names of the Lord.
Mm.
It's the embodiment of pure devotional service in those 8 verses.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? You can comment something. I cannot hear you.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. How to understand these two statements, how to harmonize statements, given by Srila Prabhupada, that we should, in a way, disturb general public by not leave them like just neutral. At the same time, make them appreciate our movement. So, because sometimes devotees tend to go to one of the extremes, maybe in their approach to the public. So how to take a balanced approach to this?
A balance. How to take a balance? How to, on one hand, our duty is to preach, spread Krishna consciousness. This is our occupation. We must do it. That's the order, order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our previous acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned in so many different occasions that the importance, emphasized the importance of spreading Krishna consciousness. So we must do it. We have to do it. And then on the other hand, we don't want to, like I mentioned also in class, we should behave in such a way that they appreciate this movement and feel attracted to the Sankirtan movement. So how to find the balance? How to? We have to use our intelligence. How to do it? We have to use our intelligence. The problem is, you know, fanaticism that is sometimes there. Although I wouldn't really call it fanatical. I think it's natural. Even in the mundane activities, you know, when young people, they get involved in sports or some activities, they're also fanatic. They're just, you know, excited. Excited. Marsh, I need some more words for what are they? They, you know, when they get involved in sport, huh? Enthusiastic. They're very super enthusiastic. They're inspired. Inspired, enthusiastic. Focused. Fired up. What else? Huh?
Determined.
All these qualities we see.
Focused.
But that's natural. You cannot just, you know, call it fanaticism. Young people getting involved, you're fanatic. So when young devotees get involved in Krishna consciousness, the same. They're enthusiastic, they're focused, determined. What was the other thing? Fired up. So many things. I wouldn't call this fanatic. Am I wrong? Or you cannot call this fanaticism. Then naturally, and Srila Prabhupada, you know, he did not try to caution the young devotees, cool down. He recognized that natural enthusiasm. But then, of course, later on, you know, when we become more mature in our Krishna consciousness, then we use our spiritual intelligence and see, you know, how do people react. Srila Prabhupada was concerned when he visited Germany. I was there, and there were some in the temple, Schloss Rettershof. We arranged, you know, programs for Srila Prabhupada, public programs. And I remember in the temple, we invited, you know, several journalists and to interview Srila Prabhupada. So they came, and Srila Prabhupada was seated on a quite big Vyasasan. And Prabhupada was very concerned. I mean, he sat on it, but only on one side, like very, you know, in a very humble mood. He answered the questions, and then after the whole, you know, discussion with the interviews was over, then he mentioned to the devotees, "Don't put this big seat. You know, when these journalists are there, don't put me on such a big seat." He was concerned, now how people would, you know, take it. A guru sitting with such a big seat, and he had to look down on the journalist. He was concerned. How do they feel? What do they think about this? On one hand, he encouraged, you know, his disciples, his natural devotion to Prabhupada, surrender. He encouraged that. How could he not? But at the same time, he was concerned about the public, you know, opinion. What do they think? I forgot, there's one quotation I remember. Rupa Goswami, he makes one statement. I forgot that Sanskrit word, you know, public opinion. So one should, in his preaching work, one should consider the public opinion. Because if the opinion is negative, we deprive them from the chance of becoming attracted to the Sankirtan movement. And we deprive them. They could become, but because of our behavior, they're not. Very responsible. So that's the balance, you know, balance. The younger devotees, sometimes they have to listen to the elderly devotees. You know, what do they think? Because they're more mature, they have more experience, and with, you know, interacting with people, they have so much more experience. They know what people appreciate, what they don't appreciate. But then despite, you know, all using our intelligence, sense of discrimination, everything, it's still, if people, you know, run away, they don't want to know, then the point applies. What can we do? What can be done? It is our duty. Okay? Yeah. Any other point? Yeah.
Before you've been talking about how Krishna is all attractive.
How Krishna is?
Is all attractive.
All attractive.
So how is it then when we go outside to Harinam with deities and we are chanting the holy name? Why some people, they just don't appreciate it anyway? Some of them really turn away and they don't. It doesn't affect them. Why?
Why they run away?
If Krishna is all attractive, the holy name, the deity of the Krishna, why they there is
why they're here in the material world? Krishna is all attractive. Why they're here in the material world? They want to forget Krishna. So again, when they hear Krishna's name, they become disturbed because they want to forget Krishna. Now someone reminds them, oh, I don't want to hear. Not again. Krishna. I was just very successful in forgetting Krishna. And now someone reminds me. They feel disturbed. Because they're all individuals. People react in a different way. According to their own individual nature, their freedom of choice, their karma. There's so many elements why people, you know, be not only related to our Sangha movement, in daily life, that different people do different things, react in different ways, interact with people in different ways. They're all individual souls. They have the freedom of choice, independence. So some feel attracted, some not. What can we do? Our duty is to just present Krishna consciousness in such a way that they might feel attracted as much as possible. But if not, then what can we do? So that's the answer, because, you know, they're all different. Everybody has his own individuality. But we should not, you know, feel discouraged. Like I give this one example, but this businessman shouting at a devotee, screaming, so angry. And then again and again, you know, he passed by the Sankirtan party, and then eventually, okay, he just took that Prasad and put it in his pocket. And at one point he ate, and then he cooled down. At the end, he became a devotee. We should not feel discouraged that initially they don't like. Sometimes we give the example of a physician or dentist. A very good example. You know, the patient, he doesn't like what the dentist is doing. You know, he hates the dentist. When he drills on his nerve, he feels like, you know, punching the dentist in his nose. But the dentist doesn't feel discouraged. He doesn't retaliate. Okay, you want to punch me, I punch you. Wrestling on the ground. He tolerates. And then they have these mantras, you know, the dentist. And they're almost done. Just a little more. And then, you know, and then he stops and you think, oh, finally it's over. And he just changes the drill with a bigger one. So preachers like that, you know, he's like a dentist. By his preaching, you know, some people feel, now you're drilling on my nerve. They protest. But, you know, preacher has to be tolerant, very tolerant, patient, tolerant, try his best, try from a different angle. I remember when I was preaching, I made a presentation at the Harvard University. Garuda Prabhu, he invited me some years ago. I compared the five branches of Western philosophy with the contents of the Bhagavad Gita, 1.5 hours. And I didn't know anything about America. I just visited for the first time. He invited me. I made my presentation. It was very nice, very inspiring. But I didn't know about, you know, the Americans, they can be quite straightforward, you know. In Europe, it's a little bit different. So I made my presentation, and then the first student, the hand went up. I said, yes, what is your question? Well, what you just said at the end, and he quoted me, I don't agree with that. I felt like, oh my God, he doesn't agree with me. And then I tried to explain her from a different angle. And then he, okay, yeah, this I can accept, all right. Like, very straightforward. So I wasn't used to that. But I liked it at the end. It's very good, you know, they so straightforward. They really tell you what they think. In Germany, they don't do this. All like this, you know, they go around and you don't really know what they think. So I really appreciated it at the end. I really liked it, you know. So initially, he didn't agree. But then I tried to explain and the difference, and then he agreed. This is like preaching, you know. Yeah, Maharaj. The microphone.
In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada said the same thing. He said, these Americans, they don't accept things so easily. You really have to convince them, he said.
Yeah.
I gave a lecture at MIT in Boston, and after I was done, one lady raised her hand. MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, one of the most...
It's a little difficult to hear.
Yeah, Massachusetts Institute of Technology is one of the most prestigious technological institutes in the world. And after I was done, one lady raised her hand, and I said, yes. She said, why are you trying to patronize us?
Patronize.
Yeah. That was her first statement. I didn't know what to say.
What did you reply?
Well, I said, I was just trying to make it sound like you could, so you could understand it.
Yeah. She still I was really, you know, confused in the beginning. I thought, how can they not agree with what I'm saying? But it's nice. At the end, I liked it. You're very straight. You know, they tell you what they expect from you, and you tell them what you expect from them. Straightforward relationship. Very good. Also in marriage, you know, you should always do that. And our grihasthas, you know, tell your what's English word spouse. Tell your spouse what you expect, and the other one same. I expect this. I expect. And then the relationship very clear. Don't keep it in yourself, in your mind all the time. I think we, you know, we're getting really over time. Maybe last question. Or comment.
I will try to make the question. Sometimes when I'm chanting Hare Krishna or when I'm doing Harinam in the streets, I expect to feel nectar or happiness from chanting Hare Krishna. Like, it's like sometimes I feel like I can make I'm making like a business with Krishna. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but I expect also to be happy from it. There's one thing, is this kind of offensive mentality to expect Krishna to give us Shakti or Bhakti. Because also during Harinam in the street, when I'm in the mental platform, I can feel that people also feel it, that I don't have this Shakti. But when normally after 2 hours of Harinam is when I finally start to feel something. It's not in the beginning, it's a little like faking my happiness, kind of. Like I'm kind of fake to be happy. But after some hours, when I start to feel the Krishna's presence in the name, and then is when I see when it have really effect in people. People they know when somebody is happy, or they feel that when it's in the mental platform. Yeah. But not every day that I feel this Krishna's presence there helping. So I don't know. Sometimes I feel that I may be giving bad impression or something.
And this is why in the Shikshastakam also, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he mentioned that the Krishna might embrace us or kick us away. It doesn't matter. In that sense, you know, sometimes we have taste, sometimes no taste. It doesn't matter. We should not try to enjoy the holy name. We should try to serve the holy name. And then in whatever way Krishna responds, that is up to Krishna. He's the supreme independent. He can do whatever he likes. We can never dictate Krishna. Oh, come on, give me some happiness today. He might give us happiness or no happiness, but our duty is to serve him. It's our constitutional position. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, how our hand feels. It has to serve the body. The hand might feel in ecstasy or not, but it has to do its service. Put the food to the mouth. That's our position. We have to serve Krishna, whether we feel happy or not happy. We have to serve Krishna. We have to chant the holy name. Whether we feel happy or not, just go on chanting, go on. This happiness, no happiness, also depends on our condition. Influence of the modes of nature. Sometimes they're there, we become little influenced. You know, by passion. Passion, the influence, we are not satisfied. We want something else. Change, something else. The goodness, then we experience more steady happiness when we become situated, fixed in the mode of goodness. Then you feel more joyful. Passion, sometimes joyful, sometimes not. Ignorance, you just want to forget everything. What's the use? Why shall I go on high arm? What's the use? That's ignorance. So like that. Maharaj, you want to comment on this particular point? Happiness, sometimes feeling on Sankirtan, sometimes not. How shall we understand that?
For the sake of preaching.
Yeah.
I think you covered it nicely. The point is that happiness comes when Krishna is pleased, and then you can't force Krishna to give you happiness. It's up to him if he wants to. And Maharaj quoted the verse from Shikshastaka. So the idea is that there are different stages of execution of bhakti. One is we do it out of fear, and that's the lowest stage. We're afraid. We do it because we are afraid of the reaction of not doing it. And then higher than that is I do it because I'm happy. And I get some happiness out of it. But that's also a shaky platform because sometimes there's not happiness. So the next platform upper, you do it as a duty. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says to function on the duty platform is the fixed platform. It's a duty. So I do it because it's my duty, whether I feel happy or not. And higher than that is love, of course, and spontaneous. But you have, in order to get to the loving platform, you have to be able to be fixed in the platform of duty. Happiness will take you, the happiness mood will take you, well, am I going to do this and get happiness out of it? I may not, so I won't do it. So it's a mental platform also.
Yeah, the happiness, it is sometimes dangerous. We might forget to serve Krishna. You're so happy. So, what is that? The example of this Daruka, you know, he's fanning Krishna. And then he was overwhelmed by ecstatic symptoms and he condemned them. What is this? What is this? The happiness, feeling and ecstasy, you know, just forget serving Krishna. That is real happiness, to serve Krishna. Despite my feelings. But as Maharaj mentioned, we should not try to squeeze out some happiness from our own selves. Krishna's happiness has to reflect on us. And that's real transcendental happiness. If Krishna is pleased, his happiness is reflecting on us. That's transcendental happiness. Not our own trying to squeeze out like a lemon in our own happiness.
Sometimes after things that people, they see that I'm not happy, the happy purpose of the preaching is not effective. So it's like, Krishna wants to be happy just for the sake of giving a good impression.
Well, let the holy name act. You know, we are always conditioned in so many different ways. But let the holy name act. We just give the holy name. The holy name will act. We don't have to, you know, draw the attention of people to us. Draw to the holy name, just chant as purely as possible. And the holy name will act. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.